Well, I wanted to give a little bit of a recap from this past weekend before we jump into tonight's teaching, because this latter part of this week and this weekend have been an amazing opportunity for me, as I was able to meet with leaders from the prayer movement, not across the nation, but across the world, together in Atlanta for a Praying Church Leadership Summit. And just wanted to give you guys a couple of the stories, just some of the things that are going on, because it was so exciting just to see and to meet these guys and to be able to, you know, have a bunch of conversations. So the International House of Prayer in Atlanta has been doing a Praying Church Leadership Summit for the last probably close to 10 years. But it's been evolving and growing and gaining traction. And this year, there were leaders from Europe, from South America, from Africa, from New Zealand, I mean, Canada, everywhere. It was intense. And it was so incredible to be in a room with these leaders that are all doing the same thing that is going on over at the prayer room down the street. And that is an expression of night and day prayer that they feel commissioned by God to do, apart from you know, it being somebody else's good idea. Many of these guys got started completely independent from whatever might be going on at International House of Prayer in Kansas City. Just an amazing move of the Holy Spirit across the earth, raising up expressions of night and day prayer. So I'll give you a couple of little examples, because this was just so much fun. So I got to meet a guy who's in central Mexico. He's 26 years old. Actually, he was 26 at the conference, so he's been 25 the whole time that the Lord's been doing this with him. He has been responsible for planting 25 houses of prayer by himself in the central Mexico area. I mean, it's just an amazing work that everywhere he would go, he would be able to, you know, raise up teams, and finances would come in, and they'd commission musicians and singers, and houses of prayer would start. He started 25 in central Mexico. So he gives leadership to a network of these houses of prayer, and just the most humble, ridiculously humble guy. That's the thing that I've noticed as I'm meeting leaders across the prayer movement. They are, in the spirit, they are mighty. I mean, these are some incredible guys and gals, but they are so humble. I mean, it's just like you really love God. You've just got meekness all over you. You just have the fragrance of Christ, and yet they're given incredible authority. And so I'm just amazed by some of these guys. Meet another guy. He's a charismatic Catholic in Germany, and he is giving leadership to, really, the way I heard it from all the guys who weren't him from the Europe area, is he's giving leadership to the prayer movement in Europe. And this guy's 34 years old, just another incredible guy. They gather about 3,000 charismatic Catholics together for their version of a One Thing conference every year in Germany, and just see this incredible work. And he's got a real anointing to be able to bridge between some of the mainstream denominations and the charismatic Catholics. And I mean, just it was awesome just to hear about him just talking about the offices of prayer that that many of the Catholic traditions have throughout the day of their daily prayer times, and just talking about how they've just integrated the Harp and Bowl model into that, and just some crazy stuff. I mean, it was really, really cool to talk with this guy. I got to do dinner with him one night, him and some of his team, and just hear about what the Lord was doing, not just in Germany, but throughout Europe and Amsterdam and in a number of other places. There was a guy there from Amsterdam who's in the red light district. I mean, we're talking about all these prostitutes are on the street, and he's got a little house of prayer right in the middle of it. They're doing the work of prayer and missions right there in the middle of it. It's always so powerful. Had a brother there from New Zealand, and he's got a house of prayer there in New Zealand, and just the crazy work that the Lord's doing there, and just building there, and then from Canada and just all across the United States. And one of the things that we were able to do at this leadership summit, which was so awesome, was to bring together 8 of the 10. So there's 10 that are kind of like, leading the charge as far as missions bases in America, with 50, 60, 100 hours a week of live worship plus, and able to get 10 of these, or 8 of the 10 guys into the room together at the same time and just share ideas and strengthen one another, and just, oh my gosh, it was explosive. I mean, so I am coming fired up off this weekend. Well, one of the things that was another marking force. And I just so appreciated the timing of it all, as we're in a series right now on evangelism and discipleship, was this conference really taking on a lot of the feel this past weekend of the prayer and missions convergence, the convergence of missions, the missions movement, and the prayer movement. And the director of YWAM in Kona, his name's Andy Bird, who is the most fiery guy you have ever heard, and another one of those that's just, he is as humble as he is fiery. Long red hair, looks like Carrot Top. I mean, this guy is the man. He's so humble, though, so challenging. And he's leading the missions base on the YWAM campus in Kona, which, Hawaii. I mean, my goodness, if you're going to be someplace. So he's just talking about the work that YWAM has been doing across the earth. If you're not familiar with YWAM, it's Youth with a Mission. It's one of the largest missions organizations in the earth. It's an amazing group that's very much after the gospel, reaching all nations. And was able to sit in on not just sessions, but just other dialogues to hear just really what's going on in YWAM right now as they're trying to figure out the best ways to communicate the gospel. As they're trying to figure out the best ways to get the gospel message into the hardest and the darkest places of the earth. And it was just so awesome. He did a session one morning, and it so encapsulated half of what I was wanting to talk about tonight that I just felt so blessed to have kind of heard a trial run before it was my responsibility to preach it. It was just one of those kiss of God moments. I was just like, oh, thank you, Lord, for Andy Bird. And not only that, he's got authority on what he was saying. So, you know, man, it was really good to just hear that. And then hopefully that can be a good echo tonight. So tonight's message is entitled The Simple Gospel Message. And this is session four for us in a series we're doing on evangelism and discipleship. And really where this is all coming from is, as a church, I really feel like the Lord wanted to kind of get us grounded and established in some things for the past few months, because we just launched about 5 months ago. And really now feel like that next step, that next push in this season is really that we will begin to reach the lost and disciple those that that know the Lord or claim to know the Lord. And so for us, I really feel like we're in a strategic transition season. And so this message, or this series rather, is really coming out of a hope to help equip us as a congregation for what I really feel like the Lord wants to do in these coming months. And there was one more. I'll just give you one more word from this conference because it's very encouraging. Man, there were some crazy things that happened, but including tornadoes that came the day of the conference by prophetic words that happened. I mean, it was the most nuts thing. But I want to get into all that. I'm sorry that I even opened up the can of worms. But one of the things that was talked about at this conference is Lou Engle, a man who's been in the faith for a long time, really has a care for the moving forward of the gospel. He's talking about the importance of evangelism, missions, prayer. And one of the things that he brought up was that that the Lord, He's stirring something different in this generation. He's calling people into the radical devotion and lifestyle, and that they're seeing these expressions pop up all over the place. Wherever the call is going, they're seeing houses of prayer and praying churches birth and people coming to know Jesus, and talking about how the 1040 window is being reached, and how the work of missions in this hour really is exploding and really is changing the hearts of people in this generation. And so, as I'm kind of preparing for this message, and I'm just thinking about what's happening in the simple gospel message, and I'm hearing about the proclamation going forth everywhere, I was so encouraged to hear these details. The promised revival. Now, there's a lot of us that have been believing that revival would come. But in the midst of this context of prayer and missions going forth, and there's something explosive happening last year and this year. It's just something explosive in the prayer and missions movement, of ground being taken, violent ground being taken in this hour. They bring up a couple of prophecies. There was a gentleman named Seymour, who was used mightily back about 100 years ago in the Azusa Street revival. And the Lord really used him to just bring forth a movement there in California. And it's really where the modern movement of the charismatic movement and the Pentecostal movement really came forth in that time. And there's another individual who was used in that time frame, Amy Simple McPherson. And she was used mightily in that hour to birth forth power evangelism and to see the lost saved and see the lost redeemed. And both of them said that they really felt strongly that the Lord was going to bring about a mighty revival in America within 100 years. That 100 years, both of these individuals prophesied, both of these just independent of one another, and that 100 years is up in July of this year. That's interesting. The reason I bring that up, it's either a word from the Lord or it's not. But the reason I bring it up is right before that, without anybody thinking about those prophetic words, without anybody giving any thought to that, right before that, the Lord starts to explode prayer and missions in a connection across the earth and in a renewed way here in America. And you just see the way that the Lord is lining things up. We are primed and ready to see a great historic visitation of the Lord, right even in the midst of the judgments of the Lord because of how astray our nation has gone. I'm just feeling like this next season of our lives as people in America is going to be so intense in a lot of different ways. And so I'm glad that the Lord is gently moving us to a place where we need to give some attention to evangelism and discipleship. So that was kind of my long intro. Okay, well, so tonight, the simple gospel message. One of the things that I've noted as I've just been looking through the Word, and it was refreshing to hear spoken at this conference, and again, Andy Bird, who's really at the point of the arrow of evangelism in the earth right now, articulate some aspects of this simple gospel message that, like most of you, I had heard the name of Jesus before I gave my life to Him. I knew the name Jesus. It's not like I'd never heard that. I'd heard things about Him. I had visited church before. I had, known, a couple things. I'd had some Christian friends who had witnessed to me before, who had told me about Jesus. I'd had those experiences before. And yet, my heart was not God's. And that's probably true of most of you in this room. There are probably very few, if any, that had never heard the name of Jesus before you gave your life to Him. But it took more than hearing for me to give my life to Him, and probably for you. It took more than concerned people. And the reason I heard about the name of Jesus was by concerned people. It took more than that. That wasn't sufficient. It took the Lord drawing me, Him drawing my heart, and then me responding to that drawing. And that's how somebody gets saved. That's how this whole process works. So as we talk about the simple message, really, the theme of this conference and the theme really of tonight is not putting so much emphasis on the message as the man. And the fact that an encounter has to occur, a drawing of the heart and a response has to occur in the transaction, or it doesn't really matter what you said. And He used a person in my life, and that's the balance. It's the Lord draws, but while He was drawing, He used the mouth of my friend to say some things that were provoking that caused me then to be in a different heart posture. And that's how He does it, is He uses people. John 6:44, passage you guys know, says, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and then I'll raise him up on the last day." Is this important aspect of the message that we must understand when we're talking about evangelism, we're talking about discipleship, because it's not over at salvation. The truth of the matter is, even in the discipleship process, I don't know how many times you guys have ever tried to do this in somebody's life, somebody who knows the Lord, and you're trying to give them a gentle correction, you're trying to help them along, man, unless their heart is softened to that message, they are not going to say yes to it. I mean, there is a drawing that has to continually happen. It's not just the Father draws once. It's the Father is drawing and wooing us in relationship. And so whether evangelism or discipleship, no one comes to Jesus unless the Father is drawing. But even the Father drawing, the person still has to respond. Jesus said, and this is something that is becoming more new to me, or rather as a new lens on the Gospels. I'm reading over the Gospels and seeing what Jesus has to say about Himself, and seeing what Jesus said to His people and Jesus' expectations. Let's get these verses up there. It's Jesus said to tell people about him. He gave you just three verses. These are all quotes from Christ, and they're various aspects of him saying more or less the same thing. Acts 1:8, he says, "You'll be my witnesses." Well, what's a witness? You've got to go tell. You've got to testify. You've got to talk about Jesus. Mark 16:15 says, "He said to them, 'Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation.'" So here, the first one was, be a witness. The second one is, to preach the good news. And so, the concept of preaching and talking about Jesus, speaking about Jesus. And then Matthew 28:19-20, which we've spent some time on already. And I'm just buzzing through these real quick. A lot of this is review. I'm just kind of setting the stage. But the end of Matthew, the end of last chapter of Matthew, Jesus says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you." So here's Jesus giving a threefold, different places in his in the gospel presentation, different places rather in the gospels, and different places in the lifeline of Jesus and this timeline. He says, "You're going to be my witnesses." He says, "You're going to go into all the world and you're going to preach the good news." He says, "You're going to go and make disciples and you're going to teach them to obey everything." All of these require telling people about Jesus. And so, in short, if you just kind of put it all together in a simple, little synopsis, Jesus is saying, "I want you to tell people about me. I want you to talk to people about me, about who I am." Just a couple of takeaways as we'll jump in here. What I want you to get out of tonight is I want to look at scripturally, maybe even touch a little bit on some of our contextual and cultural interpretations, and maybe debunk a couple ideas. I want to look at scripturally, what does it mean to be his witness? What does it mean to be his witness? And then secondly, is some simple ways to testify about Jesus. You know, this series really isn't intended to so much be a course on how to evangelize, so much as it is a description of what it is that the Lord has asked us in the combination, the context of evangelism and discipleship, how those two things work together, and recognizing that the ultimate goal is not that they hear a message about God, but that the ultimate goal is that they become one of Jesus' friends. That's our goal. And so, some simple ways to testify about Him. So, telling people about Jesus, the command to talk about Jesus. Let's get those verses up too if we can, Candy. So Jesus, we just went over some verses that are talking, these are Jesus speaking about Jesus. And he says, "I want you to go be witnesses about me. I want you to go tell people about me, teach about me." So now here it is in the first century church. And we've got the church after Christ has ascended. And we've got the church saying the exact same thing. They're reiterating the same thing. And that is, we've got to go talk about Jesus. And so here it is. In Acts 11:20, I think we've got the verses up, we do. "Speak to the Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus." So here it is again. Go and tell people about Jesus. Tell people about the good news about this man Jesus. We've got to go testify about Jesus. Next verse, Philemon 1:6. "I pray that you'd be active in sharing your faith." So here's Paul, in his discipleship process, telling one of his young leaders that's raising up in the church, he says, "I want you to be active in sharing your faith." Again, testifying about Jesus. We've got, in both of these examples, and then in the three that Jesus said, we've got plenty of information that's saying, as believers, our mouths need to testify about this man, Jesus Christ. But I found some things interesting, and I really appreciated Andy Bird's perspective on this particular point. While the scriptures say over and over that we are to testify, there are some things that it doesn't say. Just look real quick. How do we talk about him? What exactly are we supposed to be saying? You know, it says testify, okay? Testify what? Just testify. Oh, well, tell them the good news. Okay, well, what part of the good news? Go tell them the good news. All right, well, teach them. Okay, teach them what? I'll teach them everything. Oh, man. okay, can we get a little bit more specific here? It's really interesting because there's not a specific prescription. There's not a specific prescription of what has to be said. And that's the part that as I've been kind of journeying here, I'm greatly appreciative of the different expressions that are out there. But the truth of the matter is, while there are many good approaches, and I can think of five just without even spending any time on the internet, five different ways of presenting the gospel, five different approaches to testifying about Jesus, five different programs. And I would look at all five of those and go, there's a lot of strengths in all of those. Those are great. But there is not one way that Jesus left behind that said, this is the methodical approach that I want you to testify. This is the way you are a testifier. This is the way that you are a witness. This is what I expect you to say out of your mouth. It's not there. Really interesting, the Bible is actually this way about everything. The Bible gives us a crazy amount of information about what, and very little information about how. It is a what book. Man, as I just look through and go, what is the word ecclesia, just is the word that we translate church. It's like, well, what is the church supposed to look like? It doesn't tell us a whole lot of how. I mean, it gives us some stuff that's supposed to be a part of it, but it doesn't really tell us how all those nuances work together. Here on the gospel, it tells us the what. It tells us, who was Jesus. It tells us what it is that he wants. He wants us to go and testify. He wants us to teach everything. He wants us to be his witness. But it doesn't exactly give us a how-to. And so, these different programs that have been come up with, the Roman Road, or Ray Comfort's, evangelism, or whatever different approach, these different approaches, they've done the same thing that really you and I do with the entire Bible, and they've sat down, they scratched their head a little bit, and they've tried to come up with a practical way to apply the truths of the Scripture in a practical way to walk it out on Tuesday. But it's not because the Bible said you had to do it that way. Well, that's actually very interesting and freeing and difficult. It's all of those things. It would actually be easier if it was just one way and Jesus said, I want you to do this and say these five things and end it with this prayer and it's done. And it's just not in your Bible. And as I'm hearing Andy Bird share that, as I've been kind of on that same journey myself, as I'm hearing him say the following statement, just tell them about me. Just tell them about me. Have a conversation about Jesus and introduce them. It's not about a system. It's not about introducing them to a religion. It's about introducing them to a man. And what's the most interesting thing in the concept of introduction is whenever you met each other or whenever I met you or whenever you meet somebody else, the introduction probably wasn't super duper planned. You just met them kind of wherever and started having conversation. And you started your relationship with that person wherever, however you started your relationship with that person. And the longer you got to know them, you learned a little bit more about them. And there were some key things that were good for you to know right off the bat, like, oh, yeah, I'm sorry, I live in another nation. I'll be gone in 5 minutes. Good thing to know. That's helpful. It's good to know. There's some very helpful, bits of information. But the truth of the matter is, in the concept of a relationship, your introduction to an individual started where it started and grew. And wherever Jesus says, go and teach them everything, he still didn't say what to teach them first. But what do we teach them? Go and witness? Well, what do we say first? You actually even see in the book of Acts multiple different ways that the presentation of the gospel was given, starting from different points. Sometimes it was storyline. Sometimes it went straight to, you guys need to repent, you're wicked. And they just started at different points all over the place because it's about a person and not about a religion. You're actually not trying to win them into Christianity. You're trying to introduce them to a person. And that person, the introduction to an individual, here's what it really comes down to. It really comes down to how well do you know him? How can you introduce somebody you don't know? And if you do introduce somebody you barely know, you are going to tell the person you're introducing them to the only things you know about that person. You've ever been in one of those situations where you just met somebody, okay? And you started being friends like 6 minutes ago, okay? And now somebody comes up and they're like, so who's your friend? You're like, John, your name was John, right? Yeah, John. Well, what do they do? Man, they are a good bro. You know, they're doing their thing. And you just don't have anything to say, and you say whatever it is that you know. Well, for the brand new believer that doesn't know anything, that's great. That's a great starting point. Talk about what we do know, not about what we don't. And not focusing on what it is that we don't. Instead, introducing to a person. So freeing, though. I'm hearing the leader, one of the leaders of YWAM talk about a major aspect of a shift in the presentation of the gospel has so much more to do with a focus on the fact that this is a person who's really alive, who's really alive right now, who really has a story, who's really done things in his life, who's really been a part of things, who really has a position before God, a person, and looking at the concept of evangelism as an introduction to a human being who's also God, instead of a formalized introduction into a religion. Man, I just made my head swim to start thinking about what the implications of that are. So, a couple little things. I think that part of the reason that the Lord doesn't put the how in the Bible so many times, a little, and some on more subjects than others, but there's just so much. I don't know if you've ever been frustrated. Like, how are you supposed to fast? Like, I mean, you look at that, it's like, it says fast. Okay, great. How often? How much? When do I know when I need to stop? I mean, it doesn't tell you any of that. You have to figure that out. You know? Like, okay, you know, seek me. Okay, what does that look like? You know, seek me. Okay, so how much, how many hours, how much time do I do it on my knees? Should I have my hands up? Should I have worship music playing? Yeah, you need to seek me. See, I think that the reason that the Lord doesn't give us the how is actually to cause our hearts to reach. Because we don't have the how, we actually have to enter into dialogue with Him. And that dialogue then produces something that is so fine-tuned and specific. See, a manual would say, this is how you seek me. This is how you evangelize. This is how you, whatever, give, fast, whatever. A manual would just regiment it, would just make it across the board and would kind of make it a little bit tight. But the Lord desires that we would take the principles of the Scripture and then go before the Lord and we'd actually say to the Lord, Lord, how do I be a witness for you? How do I testify about you in my workplace? How do I testify about you to my neighbor? Lord, how do you want me to be a witness to my family? How do I be a witness to the person I just met? Lord, I need your help. And what winds up happening is the reach, because we're bankrupt, because we don't have the answer, the reach causes us to talk to the source. The source releases to us the information. And the information is specific to you, your environment, and those that need the help. And it's way better. Because by the time you get that information to be able to reach out to that person, to speak to that person, you've gotten information that is tailored to them and to you. And that's actually a way better, way more effective form of whatever. And especially in the concept of evangelism. You know, you think about it, what's working in a third world nation where circumstances are very different in the form of evangelism, it's just not effective here. It's just different. You know, when I was in Mexico, or in Mali, in Africa, you know, I would just, because of the context, because of the way the situation was, I would stand up in a soccer field with speakers, and people would gather around because I was a white guy. And they wanted to hear what the white guy had to say. And it didn't matter what I was talking about, they would come and listen. So this white guy, who's crazy out of his mind, I could get by with just about anything. So I would start off my messages with Muhammad is a demon. Well, that's probably not the most effective way, maybe. I mean, I've learned a few things since then. But you know what it did is it got their attention. Well, if I go out and, you know, outside and I say, Muhammad's a demon, I mean, they don't care. No one's listening. I couldn't even get the cars to stop. You know, it just little things like that. You've got to know the contextualization of how do I get the truths of who Jesus is before the people that I'm in relationship with, that I pass, you know, in my daily life, yada, yada. Can I get one more of these back there? So, following His Holy Spirit, I just love this too. You got Jesus talking to his 12, and he's telling them that things are going to get difficult. And as they do, he's saying, I want you guys to be a witness for me. And things are actually going to get pretty difficult. But I don't want you to worry about that ahead of time. Look at this verse in Luke chapter 12. Now this is Jesus to his main 12 guys. All right? This is Jesus on evangelism. All right? And here's what he says. When you're brought before synagogues, rulers, and authorities, do not worry about how you will defend yourselves or what you will say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say. Now this is interesting. Because if you go and you look at when they would get before the synagogues and the leaders and the thises and that, they would witness. They would testify about Jesus. So it's not like Jesus is saying how to defend yourselves for, you know, what you were wearing or having a mohawk or, you know, being a weirdie. Like, he's saying when you get before these guys, they're going to have accusations against you about me. And you don't even need to worry about preparing for those conversations. Because when you're in the moment, I'm going to give you the words to say. Well, it's a little intimidating for me, honestly. I'd like to do a little preparation. Lord, please let me prepare. But my point here isn't to say we should prepare or we shouldn't. My point is to say that Jesus' strategy for his main guys evangelizing in some of the most hostile environments was you need to be led by the Holy Spirit when you get to that point, guys. You're going to get into that moment, and there are going to be so many truths that you know about me that aren't what you need to say right then. But there are going to be truths that you know about me that I want to highlight and I want to bring forth, because those are the very things that will have the potential to unlock the hearts of that crowd, of that individual, of that friend, of that family member. Just looking at this incredible word straight out of Jesus' mouth on the issue of evangelism, saying it's going to be so much more about your willingness to open your mouth, your willingness to testify, than a method, than these 5 points, than these 6 things. You know, going back to my salvation experience, and yours as well, I can remember people presenting to me this strategy, this system. And it just, my heart, I didn't say yes. It doesn't mean that that system was bad, but it does mean that that system isn't foolproof. Because it's not about a system. And while that system saved the guy that they shared it with before they talked to me, it didn't do anything to me. Because I think there's something that the Holy Spirit wants to do, and that I feel like is maybe being highlighted right now, about us becoming more in tune with this Holy Spirit in our lives and in general, and especially in us sharing Jesus. So I just want to throw some stuff and just see what sticks up on the wall, okay? Got some conversation topics, if you will. If the issue, when it gets down to it, is Jesus is saying this, tell them about me. Tell them who I am. Tell them what you know about me. Tell them about me. Go and be my witness. Have conversations. Open your mouth and tell them about me. Well, Jesus, what do I say? You know, when I'm going to go have a conversation with a friend, maybe a little bit, I'll think of a couple of things we'll talk about while we're there. But for the most part, I'm hanging out and I'm just talking. And I'm just telling them, and things come actually pretty fluidly. The issue with evangelism and the whole discipleship process really has so much to do with being willing to open our mouths. And not any magic phrase. Well, I got to say this. If I didn't say that phrase, it's not worth it. Really has so much more to do with us opening our mouths and beginning to testify about Jesus. And what I've found is when I'll do that, so many times the Holy Spirit will lead the conversation. So many times the Lord will begin to direct. So many times things will wind up going in a direction that the Lord has actually been orchestrating. The issue has so much more to do with our timidity and unwillingness to open our mouths to begin to testify. Well, let's look at some ways that that testifying can start. Some just ways that the conversation can go. Ultimately, no one is getting saved until they meet the man. So our objective is to introduce them to Jesus. Our objective in talking to people about Jesus isn't to get through it so we can say, there I witnessed to that person, there I told that person. That is totally the wrong spirit of evangelism. I mean, it's very actually the exact opposite of what I think the Lord wants. The exact opposite is, there I witnessed to that person. There I did it. I got through it. I said the things. I said the hard five things. It's totally not what the Lord wants, because the Lord wasn't after you saying hard five things to a person. The Lord was after that individual's heart, and He actually has a strategy of how to get them. We want to participate in the strategy. We want to participate in the introduction of that individual to a person. And sometimes the right thing is to flat call them out on their sin the very second you see it. But don't let that be our default. Let our default be, Lord, what do you want to say? What do you want to do? How do you want to minister to this guy or gal? All right, so here's some topics of conversation, just some starting points, because we're trying to introduce a person. Jesus is not an idea. He's not a religion. He's not a religion. I had somebody say to us earlier this week, you've got your baby. You know, are you going to teach them about all the different religions? Or are you going to, push Jesus on them? I love my wife's response. Well, all the other religions are demons and idols. So we're going to tell our baby about Jesus. I was like, come on, bold. That was good, you know? Great, great response. But do you know why that person said that? Because to them, Jesus is a religion like the other religions. That's very common in our culture. He's not a religion. He's not an idea. He's a Jewish man, probably under 6 feet tall, in heaven right now. He's a person. And we've got to get that concept that he's a person, and that we are introducing them to that person. We need to start talking about Jesus like he's real. Yeah. Not like he's a religion. I don't want to sell Jesus. I want to talk about my friend. I don't want to sell the religious institution of the church or Christianity. I want to talk about the guy who saved my dirty soul. I mean, I want to talk about a person. The person, the man. Jesus Christ. Stop talking about him like he's a concept and start actually addressing that issue in the hearts of people as we talk with them. Going to the very... going for the jugular. Hey, God's not a concept. Jesus is not a concept. He's a person who's as real as you. Now, he's not right here next to us right now, but it doesn't make him any less real. He is real. And you know what? I just want to begin this introduction, this idea, to start in the conversation wherever it makes sense. To start in the introduction of who Jesus is wherever it makes sense. There were so many things I'd heard about Jesus before my heart became his. And all those pieces actually helped play into my decision making. All those pieces helped play into the revelation of God to my heart and to my frame and to my soul and to my mind. And then we build the witness, the testimony of who Jesus is, based off wherever we started. Just like the introduction to a friend. So I meet Andy. I remember, probably the week. I don't know that I can remember the day that I met Andy. I can remember the week and just some little interactions. And we didn't know a ton about each other, but we got to know each other a little bit. And then things got a little bit deeper. To just begin some dialogue, introducing them to the fact that Jesus is a person and he's real. To begin the conversation. I'll tell you what. If all of us would commit to begin having those sorts of conversations with people, we would begin to see infinitely more fruit than where we currently are right now, which is the majority of us, self-included, are pretty timid. And we don't have those conversations with people about the man Jesus. But I think if we'll actually start, the Holy Spirit will start to move. If we'll open our mouth, just having those dialogues. My pastor, Pastor Adam McCain, he's so good about this. Anywhere he's at, he has the ability to just start having a conversation about Jesus, wherever. I mean, it's just amazing, just the way, and you know what? He actually does this exact thing. I'm going to have to call him and tell him I like his method. He just starts the conversation wherever. Wherever they're at, whatever they're talking about. I mean, just whatever's going on. You know, some lady's mad in line. He goes, ma'am, Jesus is still on the throne. It's like, well, what in the world? You just started a conversation. Obviously, you've got a relationship with Jesus. And now there's an opportunity to begin starting to have a conversation. He just opened his mouth. You know? I mean, but what an interesting way to start a conversation. That's what he does. I mean, just taking whatever. Hey, so you got a hard life right now? You know, Jesus can fix that. You know? Oh, so you've got some issues with your family life? You know, Jesus actually would like to work on that in your life. Just start somewhere. You don't end there. When I met Andy, we weren't done. when I shook his hand and said, "Hi, my name is." We weren't done. But we started a dialogue and began a conversation. It became a friendship. You don't start at your end with your introduction, but just get started somewhere. For next piece, who he is. Jesus as a man. Jesus as God. Jesus being alive. You know, if you can just start a conversation about any three of those points, you will wind up in some interesting dialogue with people. You know? Just, hey, did you know that Jesus was a man? Or is? You know, Jesus right now is a man? No, he's in heaven or something. I don't even believe in Jesus. You know, he's a man. Man, I want to talk about your man. No, let's talk about my man. Let's talk about him. Do you know that Jesus is God? How confusing is that? He's a man and he's God. Yeah, he's God. But Jesus, none of those other religions are real. Jesus is God. You start a conversation. Jesus is alive. No, man, only people who are here right now are alive. Jesus is dead. No, you're wrong. Actually, people live forever somewhere. Heaven or hell. Everybody lives forever. You never cease to exist. All you people who think you're getting reincarnated, it's not real. You're going to live forever as you, somewhere, heaven or hell. Right now, Jesus is in heaven. He's alive. He's alive. Start having the conversation. His role. Jesus is Savior. He came to rescue us from hell. Just talking about that idea. Jesus as Savior. As the rescuer. You're a total wreck, bro. You need rescuing. I do not. Yeah, you do. You need rescuing. Do you know that everybody starts off pre-condemned? You're going to hell. You need a rescuer. I know him. His name's Jesus. Redeemer. You need a redeemer. Having a conversation with somebody. Redeemer. Do you know that you have been separated from the creator of everything? And that he actually made a way. He wants to redeem you. But right now you're unredeemed. You are in need of someone to come and make a connection between you and God so you and God can be on good terms. I know him. His name's Jesus. He's a redeemer. He's come to restore you to God. The restorer to God. Without Jesus in your life, you're in deep trouble because you can't be restored to the one who created dirt. He created time. He created you. This idea that you need a redeemer, it's actually a different conversation than these other points. Jesus is Lord. He came to rule our lives. To rule. In His Lordship. That Jesus the man, He's Lord. That He's actually in charge of everything and He desires to be in charge of every nuance of your life. But so far you've not submitted that to Him. And even for those that claim to be believers or are genuine believers, the issue of Lordship. He must become your Lord. That you must actually give your life over to Him to rule, to let Him run it. And until you've done that, He's not ruler and you don't know Him. He's got to rule your life. You've got to give Him that place of rulership, but He's also the wisest man that's ever lived and you can trust His leadership styles. It's actually a different conversation than Savior. I mean, you don't have to give Him all this all in one. Just start somewhere. Start somewhere. Have a conversation about Jesus being ruler. Have a conversation about Jesus being alive. Have a conversation about Jesus being Redeemer. Have a conversation about Jesus being King. I love this one. This one's so much fun to me. Jesus in charge of a kingdom. Give him a couple of medieval timey quotes or movie references. You know, let them get kind of their head in the game about the fact that there's a kingdom. The walls are high. You got guys up on the wall. The king rules from a little room in there. He's ruling the entire kingdom. Jesus is that guy. And the kingdom is the kingdom of truth and of light. Hey man, have you ever thought about the kingdom of God? What a question. What a provoking question. Have you ever thought about the kingdom of God? No, I never really thought about the kingdom. Have you ever thought about the guy who's in charge of that kingdom? Jesus? It's just a way to start a conversation. It's just another avenue to begin a dialogue about this man, Jesus. Interaction with him. This is great. This is just another few little tips. I'm just trying to throw out some ideas here because I walked away from this weekend's conference hearing some of the most gospel-sharing guys on the planet admit that there's not a system. Not a system. There's 10, and all of them have got strengths to them. But there's not a system. It's not like Jesus left us one way to share our faith. to be a witness, to evangelize, to teach everything, to introduce them to Jesus. And so, another series of little conversations you can start having. Talking to people about your interaction with God. Yeah. That God speaks. Now, I'll tell you what, that messes people up. I mean, for real. I was sitting with a lady on the plane on the way home, and I was telling her about how the Lord, you know, spoke to me about Africa and how the Lord was speaking to me while I was in Africa, and you just see her eyes like, what? I mean, very educated young lady, you know, super, you know, connected in the business world here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area or whatever. Just like, you just see the wheels turning. Like, God speaks. I mean, it was just messing with her. You know, this idea that God speaks. Start having conversations about it. Do you know that God speaks to me? God told me this. You know what? It's okay if you look like a loon. That's fine. You're not in this thing to look good. You're in this thing to testify about Jesus. And just get started somewhere. You know, the truth of the matter is, some of this stuff is going to just fit like perfectly, like a tailored suit for you. And some of this stuff's going to be like, get it off. I can't do that. Start where it feels, where is a good fit for you. Great. Testify. Just to begin to get the word out there. Next, he listens. Talk about the concept of prayer. You know, when we pray, there's a God in heaven whose ears are so good, he's able to pretend nobody else on the planet lives. And I'm the only thing down here to listen to. And he's listening to me. God, how you doing today? Nice day outside. He just heard me. He just heard me. God just heard me. That messes with you. The idea that the God of heaven is not so far from each of us. That he actually listens. He's a God who listens. Hey, you know what? If you'll talk to him right now, you'll listen. Or he'll listen to you. Oh, wait. I got to stop for just a second. I know we're going to run out of time. I got to share this story. It was nuts. Okay. So they're doing evangelism. This is Andy Bird talking about some of the different stories. They're doing evangelism. They're in, I don't remember where, so a city. So they're in some city somewhere, and they're out just telling people about Jesus. They're just starting conversations. And they get up, and one of these guys is ministering to this person, walks up to him, and the young gal's an atheist. Says, you know, hey, do you know about Jesus? Do you know who he is? She's like, yeah, I'm an atheist. And I don't believe that Jesus is real. He goes, oh no, he's real. He's real. And she's like, no, he's not. Said, do you have any sickness in your body? And she's like, no, I have absolutely no sickness. I'm in perfect health. He said, okay. Now this is bold. This is crazy. He said, we'll do a little experiment. Oh, guys, this is so crazy. So let's do a little experiment. You're an atheist, right? Right. Will you experiment with me? Sure. We're going to go around the street and we're going to ask people if they have any sickness in their body. And if they do, you, an atheist, are going to pray for them in the name of Jesus. And if one of them who's sick doesn't get healed, God's not real. By the fifth healed person, the atheist was a believer. God listens to people, atheists. I was blown away by that. You want to talk about unorthodox evangelism? But you know, everybody got messed with that day. I mean, the person who just got healed is like, oh, thank you. What church do you go to? I'm an atheist. Right? I'm like, whatever, that's messy. But you know what? It does orchestrate a point that the Lord listens to people. And the truth of the matter, if we really get down to it, the truth of the matter is, it was still the dude praying. It was the guy that knew Jesus. But he was allowed to enter into this crazy opportunity where an atheist saw their weak words touch a God in heaven, touch a person on the earth. Because God listens. He listens to people. Next, he sees you. He sees everything you do. Have a conversation. Do you know that God sees? I mean, another little point. I was on the plane coming home. There was this lady, and she was just the sweetest person I've just been able to see in a long, long time. She was ministering to her elderly grandmother. And this elderly grandmother probably had some things that weren't right in the head and things, and she'd kind of yell out and blurt out. And I just saw this woman just minister, just love, love, love her grandmother with just such incredible excellence. And it was just amazing. After I'd seen that for a while, I leaned over, I said, ma'am, this is inspiring, you know. What I should have said, I wish, you know, now I'm like, I should have said, God sees you. You know, that would have been such the perfect little opportunity for a moment. God sees this act of kindness. God sees this. He sees it. And then for even for those that are in total sin, He sees it. He sees you when you're sleeping. He sees it all. He sees your life. These are conversation points, just starting points. A couple more. We'll try to end here pretty quick. Sharing Jesus. Give your testimony. Wait, you were a mess, right? I know half of you were a mess, because I remember you. You were a mess. Well, tell them that. But Jesus. Oh, I was going, but Jesus. I was this, where I would be now, but Jesus. He's real. He's in my life. He has changed me. Share your testimony. Tell recent testimonies in your life. It's not like you just got saved and then He was done with you. Yeah, He did this thing for me a week ago. It was awesome. The Lord just did. He said, this crazy thing. Share the stories. Share it. Share supernatural testimonies of stuff that's happening around here. Crazy stuff happens around this community every week. If you're looking for material, just check your Twitter. I'm telling you, there's crazy things that are happening around here. Share the testimonies. The Lord did this. This person just got healed. Oh man, this guy came in. The Lord touched him. This was great. Man, there was this dream. And then this thing happened. Share it. Share Jesus. The testimonies, the power of Jesus. Talk about who He is, some of those aspects we just touched on. Pray for people and ask God to impact their heart. Hey, is there anything I can pray for you about? Well, I'm an atheist. Hey, awesome. You got any sickness in your body? Let me pray for you. Pray for people. The testimony of Jesus, the sweetness of Jesus, just sharing Jesus from any and every angle. Anything that's true, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, let's share the testimony of Jesus. And if you need a starting point, start anywhere on this line. Just to start sharing who He is. We don't really have time to get into the rest of this, but I'm just going to share three pieces that are going to be really important that you get to in your conversation. If you can't start there, that's okay. But these are three things we really want to make sure that you identify who Jesus is. That you help them to understand that repentance is necessary. They have to repent. It's not a free, hey, you get to know Jesus and live however you want. You gotta actually repent and give your life to the Lord. And then third, transformation is necessary. And if transformation hasn't occurred, you're still lost. Jesus said it this way, you must be born again. And the reason He used that crazy term is because you're only born once. And I remember 1 minute before JC was born, I had no idea what she would look like. No, I mean, no idea. Because she could be anything. She came out, this gooey lizard. I was like, I have a lizard. I always wanted one. I mean, 5 minutes ago, 1 minute ago, I had no idea who this person was going to be. Because when you're born, you come out with DNA. You come out with eye color. You come out with temperament. You come out with all this stuff. And Jesus says, you're born one time. You come forth from your mother's womb once. But unless you're born again, you're still dead. Transformation is essential. And until the transformation, they're still lost. They don't know Jesus. So if you're talking to somebody that says they're a Christian, there's been no transformation, they are still a lost human being. They don't know Jesus. You must be born again. Why do you keep saying that? Because you must be born again. There is a mandatory transformation that happens because God comes to live in a human frame. That cannot have no effect. And if it had no effect, it's because the Holy Spirit is not there. Because where the Holy Spirit comes, He's just wild. He just messes with people. And that's what born again is. So those three elements you want to get to in your conversation. Again, you don't have to start there. In fact, you may not even be able to start there and have their attention. Start wherever. Get their attention. And go to those things. Here's what I want to do. My hope in this series is to start stirring us. To start provoking us. And I really want to get back to this concept of target three. We'll end with this. I want for everybody in this church to pick three people in their lives that are either lost and they know it, They think they're saved and they're really lost. They're immature in their walk. They need a fellowship to be able to grow. They don't have anybody in their life discipling them, encouraging them, strengthening them, helping them. I want you to target three people. And then what I want to do is, I want to just, let's give a thrust effort on February 24th. It's the last Sunday of this month. So we've got a few weeks yet. Let's invite all of them to February 24th. If they come before that, awesome. If they come after that, great. But let's have a concerted effort on February 24th to get as many people who are in one of those categories as possible. And I can tell you what I'm going to preach on that night. We need Jesus. That's what I'm going to preach on. And that's going to touch everybody right where they're at. Whether they're lost and they need Jesus, whether they've been saved forever and they need Jesus, whether they're in a crisis and they need Jesus, wherever they're at, that's what we're going to preach on February 24th. We need Jesus. That's where this message is going. So what I'd like to do is encourage all of you, pick your target three, those three that you're going to pray for on a regular basis, you're going to try to invest in a little bit. Let's do everything we can to get as many of them as possible in this room, Sunday night, February 24th, and then let's talk about our great need for this man, Jesus Christ. Why don't you guys stand and I'll pray for you.